D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will join the program in a little bit. Derek and I are live at the Circa Sportsbook in Franklin, Kentucky. David Janes is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us at 3:40. The return of Silly Underdog Picks at 5 p.m. We have two more rounds to go in the competition this season, one today, one following the new year. And if I do say so myself, Derek Mason, I am feeling great about it, because I'm the only one who won last time, and I'm coming for you.
Yes, yes. You need those 7 points, don't you?
We'll see.
I need points, period.
We'll see what happens. Willie Donick will join the program in the 5 o'clock hour, because we can't do Silly Underdog Picks without the commissioner. But, Derek, we believed. We said the Tennessee Titans would win Sunday, and that's precisely what they did, defeating the Chiefs, and I say that with air quotation fingers, the Chiefs 26-9 at Nissan Stadium, snapping an 11-game home losing streak. For the first time since early November of last year, the Tennessee Titans won a game at home. You can kiss the number one overall pick goodbye. The New York Times gives the Titans a less than 1% chance of finishing at the top of the draft order once again. They are now projected to pick 6th in the NFL draft, but that might not matter to you. You might be more concerned with the performance of Cam Ward, and he had what I would say is his best game of the season. 21 for 28 passing, 228 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And I know he was playing a preseason version of the Chiefs. Gardner Minshew tore his ACL, just like Patrick Mahomes did the week before, and some quarterback I've never heard of played the majority of that game. Now, of course, Cam Ward wasn't going head-to-head with the Chiefs' third-string quarterback. But again, you can generously call the Chiefs' lineup yesterday a preseason lineup. But Cam Ward still took another step Sunday as he attempts to end his rookie season with positive momentum. Derek, how would you evaluate the Titans' performance against the Chiefs as a whole, as well as Ward's performance specifically?
I think as a whole, they went out there and did what they needed to do. We all understand who they were going against. Not necessarily, the name. We're talking about the guys that were actually on the field. You know Patrick Mahomes, other guys that were out. And then you had Gardner Minshew go down early in the game. But even with that, I thought this team played with a ferociousness. This team kept fighting. This team played hard on both sides of the ball. Was it pretty again? No, really, it wasn't pretty. But this team, and you got to understand too, we talk about the guys that Kansas City didn't have. What about the guys the Titans didn't have? And then they end up losing another guy in the secondary yesterday. So when I look at it from that standpoint, the Titans, just as much as people want to say, well, the Chiefs will run out this guy, that guy, and they pretty much laid down. I could have said that about the Tennessee Titans. Again, their whole secondary is decimated, and then they took another hit yesterday. They're decimated across the board, really, but that back end, even with that quarterback, that back end still held up. You had a bunch of guys that, frankly and honestly, it's good that they're getting an opportunity, but they don't need to be on the field at this point. Like, if guys were not injured, these guys wouldn't be out there. So I could have said, or I could say, well, the Titans could have gave up. But they didn't. They fought hard. And I'm not saying that the Chiefs gave up. They didn't. They continued to fight. But yesterday, the Titans were the better team. And they showed they were the better team. Again, was it perfect? No. But they showed the team that they played yesterday, the Kansas City team that they played yesterday. I'm not talking about the team they may play next year, or the team they played 2 years ago. I'm talking about that team they played yesterday. They were better than them. And they beat them like they were supposed to. So I take that and say, you know what, job well done. Do I want to see more? Absolutely. Cam played well. But Cam had a game like this before. I think it was a couple of games ago, and I don't think it was a win. Or was it a win?
His best performance before yesterday, and whether you want to evaluate his performance based on what you saw, but if you're looking at the numbers, his best performance of the season before yesterday was the loss to Seattle.
Yes.
That was his best performance. Yesterday, he had his highest passer rating of the season, 122.3. If you want to get even nerdier, he had his highest EPA per dropback, expected points added per dropback, of the season yesterday as well. So whether you look at the eye test, whether you look at the statistics, Cam Ward certainly had his best performance. Dylan on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, didn't the Chiefs have almost all of their starters on defense, though? I know
yes,
that they were
a lot of them.
There were a lot of them out there. I don't know which ones weren't available, but the Chiefs have a solid defense. We know this. And we have tried to tell you many, many times how difficult the schedule has been this season for the Titans, specifically the caliber of defenses that they have played this season. So, yes, the Chiefs were without Patrick Mahomes on offense. Gardner Minshew tore his ACL on, like, the third play of the game. I believe it was 9 other players were held out of the game. So, again, there were notable players on the defensive side of the ball for the Chiefs. So I don't want to take that away from Cam Ward, although I did call them the Chiefs with quotation fingers. But here, you know what? We're gonna take your reaction all show long, 615-737-1025. But I want to specifically hear from the Cam Ward skeptics today, because Cam Ward undeniably has played better since the Titans' schedule resumed following their bye week. He has played better. He is completing nearly 64% of his passes. He has thrown 8 touchdowns and just 1 interception. His rating is up from 72.1 before the bye to 89.3. He's taking 2 fewer sacks per game. So Cam Ward is playing better since the team came back from its bye week. And, Derek, we talked about this last week. We've been talking about it all season. Whether you're on the side of the fence that Cam Ward is being held back by a bad team and he's shown enough signs that you're confident he can develop into a franchise quarterback, or whether you're on the other side, Cam stinks, he's a bust, he'll never live up to that draft slot, it's going to take a lot for you to reconsider your position. But I do want to hear from the Cam skeptics today, 615-737-1025, because he has been playing better. And the one thing, well, multiple things, but one of the things that we've been talking about, Derek, one thing that he has struggled with is his accuracy on deep passes, specifically outside the numbers. And yesterday, he was much better in that area. He completed a deep pass to Aya Manor early in the third quarter for 25 yards. A couple of plays later, he had that excellent scramble and pass to Chim Dike that went for 30 yards. Now, he did throw an incomplete pass to Gunnar Helm on fourth down early in the game. Gunnar Helm stepped out of bounds. And I certainly saw some commentary that Cam did not put it in the right place and maybe led Gunnar Helm a little bit off, and that's why he stepped out of bounds. And we can talk about that. But one of the things we have hammered Cam Ward for is his inaccuracy, specifically on deep passes outside the numbers. And yesterday he made multiple plays deep outside the numbers.
And that's what you want to see. And listen, he can, you know, not have a good game next week. And, you know, the skeptics have come out again. You know, oh, he had a good week last week, but look at him this week. And my rebuttal to that is he's a rookie. But if you're watching the game, is he getting better at the little things that will ultimately turn into the bigger things? We was always taught, and I'm sure people, you know, teach their children this. If you're not going to be detailed with the little things, or if I can't count on you to do the little things, how am I going to give you something big? You know, because you hadn't done the little things yet in order for me to give you the other thing. That's what people want. People don't want the little things. They just want to see the big things. Well, he ain't going to give you the big things until he gets better at these little things, and that's what he's doing. And that's why you see it in spurts. Like, you know, you see a flash here, flash there, because he's still working on the little things. That's why you see it consistently with quarterbacks that have been playing this game for a long time that we consider really good to elite. It's all the time. Why? Because they've worked on those little things. Now that flash stuff becomes more consistent. That's the way I look at the game. Cam is still working on the little things, people. And, yes, he has to get better, and I believe he has. But he's going to show you flashes of the big thing, but he's still working on the smaller things.
I would love your thoughts on this note from the NFL. Cam Ward averaged his quickest time to throw of the season, 2.42 seconds, and thrived on quick passes in a week 16 win against the Chiefs. 15 of 18 attempts he completed under 2.5 seconds for 134 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was blitzed on 48.4% of his dropbacks and completed 9 of 13 for 117 and a touchdown when blitzed. So a significant improvement for Cam Ward, specifically when blitzed, but again, 15 of 18 on passes under 2.5 seconds. Your thoughts on those numbers and what they mean for Cam Ward?
I think he's seeing things a lot quicker. Again, it's not perfect, but I think he's seeing things a lot quicker. There was a play where I think it was third down and Cam went to, there were two outs. I think it was DK running it out and Gunner running it out. And Cam was getting ready to throw it. And the linebacker jumped out in his in his vision. And he pumped it, and then he immediately went to look for the second guy or the third guy. He wasn't there. He ended up getting set. Those are the things that I'm seeing. It was a bad play, but it was a good. What was good about it is that he recognized it quickly. He jumped out. Oh, I can't throw that. And then he quickly scanned back to see where that second and third guy was. It was the rush was just so fast he couldn't get back to him. Those are the things that I see that the typical person is not picking up on. They just see, oh, it wasn't a completed pass and he got sacked. No. When you see his eyes, he scans back to the left. And he's looking for that other guy. But the rush came. Or I think he ended up throwing and it was an incomplete pass or a knockdown. But either way, Cam is learning, people. He's seen the little things. And that's what Coach McCoy talked about early on when he took this job. After a couple, he said, Cam is seeing the little things. He's not repeating the same mistakes over and over. He gets it. He wants to know. He understands it. Or if he doesn't understand, he's going to make sure he does it long enough and hard enough that he does, that he will eventually understand it. The numbers are not gaudy, people. But if you watch Cam throughout this season, and in particular, like you said, Adam, after the bye week, he's picking it up a lot quicker. And that's what I mean by if he had talent, like more talent around him or some veteran guys that he depend on that are not playing right now, just think if he had those guys and they were playing up to their level. Just think what he would probably look sort of like Drake May did last year. And his only thing was, get me the right coach and the right OC, and I'll be all right.
One texter says, give all of the Cam Ward haters my phone number so I can hit them up. I am not going to do that. Your phone will not stop ringing
exactly.
for days on end. And I have been underwhelmed overall by what I've seen from Cam Ward this season. I was hoping for more. And I have been somewhat encouraged by what I've seen over the past 4, 5, 6 weeks since the Titans schedule resumed again. His completion percentage has increased from 57.6% before the bye to 63.9% since the bye. Before the bye, 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Since the bye, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. Before the bye, a 72.1 passer rating. Since the bye, 89.3. So 72.1 up to 89.3. The sacks are way down. He's not throwing for as many yards. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Derek. Mm-hmm. I do think that since the team came back from its bye, that the Titans have prioritized more of those quick,
yes,
short passes. He's not looking downfield as much as he did before the bye at the beginning of the season under Brian Callahan, and he was struggling in that department. But as I said before, the most encouraging thing to me yesterday was he made some really big plays down the field, down the sideline, that we haven't seen. And in every game, I feel like we've been given a taste of, here's what Cam Ward can do if he reaches his maximum potential. And it was the play to DK. Mm-hmm. The scramble, eluding defenders, throwing against his body, DK going up and get it, and credit to DK for doing that, because DK doesn't always catch passes.
He's had to drop. Six.
Yes. So kudos to DK for actually hauling in that pass. But you see a play like that, and you are reminded of why so many people thought of Cam Ward as worthy of being the number one overall pick. Time will tell if that actually happens, of course. But I think even the biggest Cam Ward skeptics have to feel slightly encouraged. I'm not saying that if you are down on Cam that you need to completely change your tune based on what you've seen over the past month, month and a half. But I do think that there have been elements there that were missing in the beginning of the season that have started to appear more frequently. And I do think that's reason for cautious optimism. I emphasize the cautious part of cautious optimism. I understand the caliber of opponents, the caliber of opponent he played yesterday. You were playing a Chiefs team that's missing the playoffs for the first time in more than 10 years without its leader at quarterback, without multiple players. The Chiefs basically have thrown in the towel. So I get that. That context is important when discussing Cam Ward's performance yesterday. But I do think, ultimately, you have to be encouraged by what you've seen. Let's go to Dave on our phone line. Dave, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, in all of this conversation about Cam Ward in the break, one of the things that occurs to me is, what do you think happened during the break? What was it about the break that enabled him to change and grow? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Dave. What do you think, Derek?
I think they had an opportunity to there were enough games played that they had an opportunity. And it's not like they were playing, again, and we talked about this, it's not like they were playing cupcake defenses. They were playing top-ranked defenses. So when you have that many games in the bag, during the bye week, you can go back. You, the quarterback, OC, everybody on offense can go back and sort of critique yourself, self-evaluate, the film. Look at it. Be critical of it. Things you did right, things you did wrong, things you need to improve. This is what they like to play. This is what this team likes to play. This is what the majority of the NFL, this is what it's going to look like once we move forward after the bye. And then after all of that, once you figure that all out in a week and a half, what you do is now you cut the plays down. Or now you say, we're going to do things that are beneficial to the quarterback. Which means, and we saw it, we're going to work bottom up, meaning we're going to start working with this quick passing game. Let's get the rhythm. Because when Cam's in rhythm, Cam is good. When Cam's not in rhythm, he looks like a complete rookie. And he doesn't look like the first round pick, meaning the first pick in the NFL draft. But let's get him in rhythm real quick, develop this running game, and then we'll kind of move from there. We're not going to work top to bottom. Our offensive line isn't that good, and Cam doesn't know defenses like he just doesn't know defenses because he's a rookie. He's learning. So we're going to work from bottom to top, quick game, run the football, and then allow him to read these defenses. And it's worked out well for them, meaning the Titans. It's worked out well for Cam. It's worked out well for the Titans, not from the standpoint of winning and losing. It's the standpoint of these young men that you are depending on moving forward. I'm talking about next year, Gunner, Elliott, DK, Cam, they are developing. It may not be wins, but they're good. There's good in the film that we're watching.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Titans' 26-9 win against the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday at Nissan Stadium. The Titans' first win at home since November 3rd, 2024. An 11-game losing streak at home comes to an end. Cam Ward, with his best game as a pro, 21 for 28, 228 yards, two touchdowns, zero interceptions, a passer rating of 122.3. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Jeffrey Simmons had an interesting comment after the game about Cam Ward. I want to play it and get Derek's thoughts on it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from Queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12th South. Don't miss a snap.
One thing I told him, like, it's hard to win in this league, no matter who is against. I'm sure you wanted everything to be cleaner, but and you got to enjoy every one of them. I mean, especially the way this season been going for us, you know, that's kind of my message to him. But I understood where he was coming from. You know, it's not always going to be clean, but just like today, like I told him, I mean most, you know, passing yards in Titan history for a rookie, I kind of threw that in and joked with him. But, like, that's big time. And that the expectation that he had for himself, and that's the reason why, man, I'm honest, I keep telling people, that's the reason why I don't want to go nowhere. You know, I see the competitive nature. I see the growth. You know, as a rookie of Cam, I see I can see where he could take this franchise. So, you know, I'm looking forward to continue to end the season the right way. And we'll see how next year goes for us.
That was Jeffrey Simmons talking about Cam Ward after the Titans win against the Chiefs yesterday at Nissan Stadium. One part we didn't play, Derek. Jeffrey Simmons said he told Cam Ward, don't be a Grinch today, because remember what happened a couple of weeks ago when the Titans won at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward was a bit muted.
Yeah.
I was going to say curmudgeonly, but I'm not sure that's the right word. He was a bit muted. And then there was the whole story about what Arden Key allegedly said on the plane ride home. Don't listen to Cam. It's hard to win in this league. So Jeffrey Simmons was talking about that, but then he mentioned what he said in that clip, which is he's the reason I didn't want to go anywhere, because he can see the competitive fire in Cam Ward, and that's a huge, vote of confidence, I guess you could say, for Cam Ward.
Yeah, and listen, Jeff said it too. It's not perfect. It wasn't clean, but he's like everybody else inside that building, and, you know, I know it's hard for, you know, fans to sort of see it at times, because the numbers are not there, nor are the wins there. But they see it inside that locker room. And I believe Jeff in what he said, both that Cam is developing and that this is one of the reasons why he wanted to stay here. Because he sees, you know, the talent in the quarterback. Because that's what it's all about. If you don't think you got a quarterback, then it's hard to – for a guy like Jeff, where he has less years in front of him than anything, that if he didn't feel the quarterback wasn't the guy, I'm sure he would try to somehow, some way, move somewhere else where he can potentially win a title. Not to say the Titans are going to win the title in the next year or two. I'm not saying that. But I think Jeff is – his next contract will put him here for the remainder of his career, which means I think it'll be another 3, possibly 4 years. So he sees that, and he understands that in about 2 years, man, maybe even a year and a half, depending, in about two, we're going to be right where we want to. And I want to be a part of that. Why? Because of the quarterback. And obviously the division that he spoke to Borgonzi and Brinkert about, and Borgonzi and Brinkert, you know, spoke about it as well briefly too. So he's seeing all this. So I tend to believe Jeff, because I know what I'm seeing. Yes, I'm not looking for the gaudy numbers. It'd be great if he did have them, but I'm not looking at the gaudy numbers. I'm looking at, is he developing the way a quarterback needs to develop in the small things? And I think he is.
Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Carlotta. Carlotta, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Merry Hello. Christmas to all. Hi,
thank you.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I was delighted with Jeff's comments, and this isn't what I was calling about, but I was absolutely delighted with Jeff's comments, and hopefully they don't trade him away. Anyway, my question has to do with the coaching search, and I understand that Nagy is part of the conversation. And if I am correct, he's OC for Kansas City. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Is this his first year or second year as OC?
He's been there for a few years now,
yeah,
since being fired by the Chicago Bears. But he is the offensive coordinator there. He does not call the offensive plays in Kansas City. Andy Reid does that.
Andy Reid does. Right. Okay. Okay. Well, I was curious because he wasn't a great fit in Chicago, and the offensive, you know, you were talking, I think the show before was talking about, you know, how does somebody respond during difficulty, right? So this year they had real difficulty. This is the first year that they've had real difficulty, and the offense has not looked great. So I was just curious about what your thoughts are about Nagy with that perspective.
Thank you for the call, Carlotta. And we are going to discuss the coaching search in the 4 o'clock hour because Diana Russini of The Athletic reported over the weekend that the Titans' list of candidates is, quote unquote, taking shape. Now, I saw, sidebar here, I saw a lot of people on social media freaking out, which is what tends to happen on social media. I saw people on social media freaking out because, like, that's the list? Those are the only people they're going to interview? It's not like Mike Borgonzi took a photo of his legal pad with all of the candidates on it and sent it to Diana Russini and said, here, Diana, here are the only people we are considering for the job. So that's a good question, Carlotta. We are going to discuss that during the 4 o'clock hour. Matt Nagy, I will say this because you did call and we appreciate you calling. Matt Nagy seems like a safe choice to me. Because and I don't mean that necessarily as a compliment, because of his relationship with Mike Borgonzi. He's been a head coach in the NFL. He has a winning record as a head coach in the NFL with Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields as his primary quarterbacks. But, you know, I've been watching the Chiefs offense this season, as Carlotta mentioned. And I know that Andy Reid calls the plays, but Matt Nagy has a say in what goes on. I have been uninspired by what I've seen from the Chiefs offense this season. So Nagy certainly is going to be a candidate, but I'm not sure I would have him at the top of my list. But we will get more into that during the 4 o'clock hour. We appreciate the call. Damien in Nashville, Derek, wants to know, why do you think it took McCoy 5 weeks to employ this style of offense? The Titans are getting everyone involved, which translates to the team being much more efficient.
I think they were just working through some things. You know, I don't think it took him 5 weeks. I think they've been trying to do this because you and I talked about this, Adam. You know, his yards per throw or yards per an air or something.
His yards per attempt.
They went down.
I'll pull
once,
those up.
Right after the bye week, they started to tick down. So that tells me that, again, they were not working from the top down. They were working now. We're going to start him off with some of these this quick game, get the ball out of his hands quickly. One, because of the offensive line and their troubles. Because you can see there's a direct correlation between the quick passes and the way he's been in rhythm with how many sacks the offensive line is giving up. It has gone down drastically from what it was the first half of the season. So, again, that tells me they've been working through this process. You can't all of a sudden go from, you know, A to Z, you know, especially not with a rookie. They are working it the best way they know how to try to develop their quarterback. They're starting with the intermediate, meaning a short game, intermediate game. And then as he starts to get comfortable and he gets a rhythm with that, then you see the deep shots down the field. But it wasn't like that the first five, six, seven games of the season. They were trying to throw the ball downfield. And, again, it could have been Cam wanting to push the ball down the field. But I think this coaching staff, meaning McCoy and Hardigree, they've gotten in his ear and they've convinced him that, listen, the best way to develop in this league is to take what the defense gives you, get in rhythm, and then we can proceed up. We're not going to be aggressive with the football like that. We don't need to be. Let's work from the ground up, and I think they have been. And I think last game was sort of an testament to that. And, again, not to say that it ain't going to go back. He may not take a half a step back, but what I'm saying is that game was sort of like, okay, this is what we've been working toward.
My very quick math tells me that Cam Ward is averaging under 6 air yards per attempt since the bye. Now, I didn't have time to look at before the bye, yeah. And I can do that maybe during the break.
Yes.
But since the bye, here are his air yards per attempt by game. 7.1, 5.0, 6.2, 5.1, 6.4, 5.8 for an average of 5.9-ish. And I will look to see how that compares to before the bye. I'll do that during the break, mm-hmm. which is about to happen right now. 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, Titans reporter, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Cam Ward's performance and the Titans' win against the Chiefs. 615-737-1025. Tomorrow, between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card, and you can qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. It's the 12 days of Christmas on 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, who is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, was that you I saw running the Nissan Stadium steps with Mike McCoy?
Yes, it was. I was challenged to do that, and I don't back down from challenges. He's asked me to do it. That was the third straight week. I wasn't going to do it in Cleveland and San Francisco or Santa Clara. I just didn't do it, and here we are, man. Felt good, man.
You making some progress on those stair climbs?
There was never a regression. This is what we do. Listen, man, you better check the internet, man. I got videos out there on my IG, man, my profile, my highlights, running the Capitol steps, man, running the hill. We get it in over here, man. 49 is still fine, baby.
Hey, tell them don't doubt you.
No, you know not at all. Not at all. I would never doubt Teron Davenport. So, Teron, I do want to ask you about something that Derek and I were just talking about and have talked about in the past. You know, one thing that we've both noticed over the past 6 weeks since the Titans returned from their off week is that the air yards per attempt for Cam Ward have dropped significantly. Over the past six weeks, he's averaging 5.9-ish air yards per attempt. That is down from 8.3 before the bye. What went into that decision by the coaching staff? Because that certainly looks like it was intentional. And how do you think that's helped Cam Ward?
So with that, you've seen the completion percentage go up. He's now about, he's at 60.4. How about that, right?
Yes.
So that's something. But I think this is all a part of their effort to use, quote-unquote, a shot clock. Now, I talked about Hardy Cree about that. They don't literally use one. Like, I've seen quarterbacks in the past, you know, where it's like 3 seconds, you bet that ball better be out before 3 seconds, and they actually have a clock. But it's just an increased processing, just the speed of working through it and just getting the habit. I don't know if you guys realize, but his snap to throw was 2.4 seconds this past week. That's the fastest it's been for him this whole season. And I think it's all a part of that playing with more decisiveness. Mike McCoy, when he was off for the bye week, he watched some various quarterbacks. And, I mean, this guy's worked with some really good quarterbacks too. But he watched and he just saw, like, how decisive, how quickly they made a decision. And that's something that he brought back to Cam and encouraged him to do. What Bo Hardigree did, Nick Holtz did. You know, they Peyton McCollum, you know, the assistant quarterbacks coach. They all worked with him to make him – faster, just as far as like, okay, deciding, hey, I got to get out of Dodge and run, or just, you know, I got to step up and manipulate the pocket and buy some time that way. But, you know, it's just been good. And with that, you've also seen the sack numbers go down.
Teron, one thing that we've talked about on this show, I'm sure you've talked about it, you've written about it. One thing that Cam Ward has struggled with this season are deep passes outside the numbers, down the sideline. And yesterday, he hit a couple of those shots. He hit one to Aya Manor. He hit one to DK, most notably. Anything you saw on those plays that allowed him to complete those passes that he struggled to complete most of the season?
Yeah, time to throw it. I think that was important. But, I mean, the one to DK, I mean, he's rolled to his left. That was a reenactment of, if you go back and watch the opener last year, Miami versus Florida, he hit – one of the receivers that way. And it's just, that's a crazy throw that he made. But even the perfect over the shoulder one to to DK, or excuse me, to Io Manor was good. And you're just seeing him get some time. And also, there's a comfort level that he's playing with now. And I asked him about that, and he said, of course, the reps are helping him, but the film study is. And he's at a point now where he, at times, can predict how defensive coordinators are going to play against him, scheme against him. And that's all of that is what the difference is, you know, in that league. Everybody's talented. Some are slightly more talented than others. Don't get it twisted. But it's the mental part of it. Once you have that sharp, then you're basically unstoppable.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport. Now, Teron, we talked about at the beginning of the season certain guys that needed to show themselves this year. And two of the guys, notably for me, was Chigakonkwo and Tajay Spears. And now, listen, I know the season didn't start off or has continued the way the players have wanted to, nor the fans. But when I look at Chig and I look at Tajay in particular the last 4 weeks, are they making a claim to be back here next year? And I'm not – in Tajay's situation, I'm not saying that he could be the lead back, but he can be a viable part in more development with Cam, also Chigakonkwo, because Chig is now – he's showing more now than he had in previous years, like the consistency.
Yeah, right, the consistency. That's exactly what it is. And I think with Chig – he might be their best yards after catch guy on the team. There's just a hungriness that he runs with and anger, and he's legit from that perspective. And I know a lot of people are writing him off just because of the blocking and saying they should move on from. Listen, I wouldn't be opposed if I was a Titans to re-signing him. It's not going to be an expensive deal. You know what you got in him, and there will be a shift, right? Gunnar Helm is going to be the tight end, but he could be your complimentary guy, right? You know, a lot of people are saying, hey, go sign Isaiah Likely. Well, guess what? Isaiah Likely is going to cost a lot of money. Chigakonkwo won't, and they're very similar players in that they're not guys you use for blocking. You use them to move around. So, yeah, without a doubt, I think with Tajay Spears, you know, the only thing with him is just the injuries. But, I mean, you've seen the way he runs. You get that guy in space, he's going to make things happen. And then also he has that ability where, as you saw yesterday, where they had that pony package, right, with two backs in the game at the same time, he and Pollard. So he's the guy you could have on the field to use in that aspect as well.
Now, again, the offensive line did a wonderful job, even when Moore went down once again. Udo stepped in, I believe, and continued to do a good job. Is it just that they've went to the pass, the quick pass game? That's why you don't see some of the defaults in the offensive line? Or do you believe they are truly getting better?
No, I believe they're getting better. And I think, you know, Scott Fuchs and Matt Jones, you know, these guys came into a situation where, you know, they're replacing the best, if not second best, he and Bill Callahan and Jeff Stoutland, you know, those are the best in the league. They're replacing Callahan, and I think they've done an awesome job of just keeping the message. And Peter Skoronski has stepped up, and I know, you know, he plays guard, and that's not a real, glory type of position, but what he's done has been outstanding for this team. And in fact, you know, he bumped out to left tackle for one snap because Ali Udo had just checked in as tackle eligible, and with the rules, if a guy goes down after someone to play after someone checks in, you know, tackle eligible, he can't go back out there. So Skoronski was left tackle for a play. But I mean, I think it's just the dedication to running the football. I mean, I don't care what offensive lineman you talk to, they're going to want to run the ball, and they'll tell you, hey, look, man, when we're running the ball a lot, that makes my job easier. And I think that's what's happening with them. And I think Corey Levin came in, you know, in that Jacksonville game and gave that O-line a jolt too. So, yeah. You know, and Levin went in that left guard when Skoronski went to left tackle. So I think altogether, and look, for as much flack as J.C. Latham caught, that young man is playing solid football. You know what I mean? And then you go back and you look at some of those downfield plays. There was a screen, I think it was to Tajay Spears, and Kevin Zeitler, man, he got to that second level and he was making things happen. So all of the things that you want out of the offensive line are happening now, and they're playing solid football.
Now, TD, if this Titans team was on their way to the playoffs, the way Jeffrey Simmons is playing. Is he Defensive Player of the Year?
I think you got to talk about him as one of them. I mean, did you see that swim move he put on that man? And then look, here's the thing. He impacts the game even when the ball isn't snapped. He drew three or four false starts. And actually, the one false start that he drew was the one that set up the situation where he got the safety. You know, yeah, without a doubt, I think he's a guy you have to mention. And he's one you feel him during the game now. You feel Jeffrey Simmons, his presence. So, yeah, I mean, you got to put him up there with mention. But it's hard to – man, Myles Garrett, man. This dude,
yeah, I know.
You know.
But I'm saying he would have – there would his name would be mentioned more with Myles Garrett if this was a winning team.
Yeah, yeah, no, without a doubt, I think his name would be mentioned more. But you know what we can mention his name more for? That's the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Okay.
And I think when you look at the way he took a negative situation, I mean, imagine having your home broken into. I know me personally, someone breaks into my house and I see it, all my thought process is going to be like, I want to shoot them or I want them to go to jail, right? But the way he turned it around, he said, you know, this is why I do my community outreach. Because if I could just touch one young man and get him to avoid the streets and avoid these type of actions, my purpose is attained. And I think, you know, he's not an old man. Like, he's still young. You know what I mean? And to have that mindset, it's admirable. So, you know what? Let's mention his name for that award. Three times in a row he's been nominated. Hopefully this year he wins.
Teron Davenport is with us, and Teron, Tony Pollard is out there running like Teron Davenport up the Capitol steps.
No, he's running like Rhett is due, man.
He's averaging more than 120 rushing yards per game this month, and you previously said to us that you don't anticipate Tony Pollard being back with the Titans next season. I'm wondering if his play over the past month would give them any reason to bring him back, because I'm not sure, and you could tell me, you're the one that would know, what the plan would be for the Titans at running back if they didn't bring Tony Pollard back. Because are we sure Tajay Spears is ready to be a lead back? Would they sign another back in free agency? So what would be the plan there, you think?
So he has run the football really well, and I find myself every week over the last 2 years tweeting, hey, Tony Pollard runs hard. It's to the point now where it's like, here's your obligatory Tony Pollard runs hard post. But I don't know that he's a true difference maker consistently at running back. And this is no you know, shot at Tony Pollard. He's had a really good last three games. But when you're in that $9 million a year range, like, it has to be the Jonathan Taylors, the Derrick Henrys, the Christian McCaffreys, right? So Jake Lyman actually on the Jake and TD show, or yeah, I wish it was that show, the Next Man Up show.
On TD Thursdays.
TD Thursdays. He brought up the Jets running back, Sean Green, I want to say his name is.
Yeah.
That's a really good option. You know, he's younger. He was once one of those up-and-coming backs. He's going to be less expensive. So I could see that type of merger between he, Kalel Mullins, Julius Chestnut, and Tajay Spears for the lower price than just having Tony Pollard.
Teron Davenport has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving, and Adonik. He joins us every Monday during NFL season, and he's presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy TD. Since we won't talk to you again this week, have a wonderful holiday. Thank you as always, and thank you so much for all of your insight that you provide for our show and all of our listeners.
Merry Christmas, TD.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Merry Christmas to you guys and to everybody listening, man. Take care, be safe, make wise decisions, and love life.
There thank we you, go. TD. 615-737-1025. You can react to what Teron Davenport had to say about the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025. We do have a pretty cool giveaway today. We are fresh out of Music City Bowl tickets. So if you're looking for those, I can't help you. But we do have, and this is a mouthful, so bear with me, a pair of passes that give you access to a special area in the Jack Daniels tent behind the stage at the Jack Daniels New Year's Eve Live Nashville's Big Bash at the Bicentennial Capital Mall State Park on New Year's Eve. Man, that is a mouthful. But you will have a chance in the 4 o'clock hour to win those passes if you're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve. So be listening, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, The Athletic reported over the weekend that the Titans head coaching list is, quote unquote, taking shape. We'll discuss some of the names reportedly on that list coming up next, 615-737-1025. But first, a couple of programming notes. First, the NFL game of the week is Cowboys versus Commanders on Thursday at noon on 102.5 The Game. The NFL game of the week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, where we are today, and Macero and 12 South. And also, the college football game of the week is Penn State versus Clemson in the Pinstripe Bowl this Saturday at 11 a.m. on 102.5 The Game. Coverage is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.